Exodus 36. Willing hearts. Has God made you anew? You know, when we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, it's not just about the fact that God resurrected Jesus the Son on that third day. For what does 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9 say? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. Jesus is resurrected. He died on the cross, he was buried in the grave. 3 days later, he was resurrected. What does that mean for you and for me? If you and me confess our sin, repent of our sin, and surrender to him, then he resurrects us. You and me were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you and me formerly walked. But now, you've been made alive in Christ. If you've been made alive in Christ, then you should have that willing heart like these Israelites had in the wilderness as they were called upon by God for the building of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was not just another place to meet. It wasn't just a religious center. But it was God's portrait Christ. You and me are commanded not to make for ourselves any image of anything in heaven or in the earth or under the earth. Why is that? Because God gives you and me everything we need for life and godliness. God gives you and me everything we need as a picture, as a portrait of himself. God, the Creator, can give you and me a much better representation, can give you and me a much better portrait of himself than we could ever think or dream. First seven verses of Exodus 36. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding, know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come to the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offer which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that brought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, so the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would renew our hearts as you already renewed our hearts, as you continue to renew our hearts. Lord, we pray that in this work of yours that you would continue to drive out our old man, that you would continue to drive out those fleshly inclinations of puffing ourselves up, of building ourselves up, of holding on to the good things that you've given us. Lord, we pray that you would open our hands and our hearts for your good work. Lord, we pray that you would give us eyes that we could see, that the fields all around us are white even unto harvest. But the laborers are few. Lord, do a work in us. Stir in us a longing, a desire to see the fields reaped, to see men, women, and children come into the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him risen. Lord, stir in us a desire to call men, women, and children to repentance and surrender. Lord, when we hear statistics that 85% of our nation is unchurched, 85% of our nation are lost and headed to hell, break our hearts. Stir in us a motivation, a longing to get the message of the gospel out. Lord, there's a lot of meeting places that are open on Sunday mornings, but there are few churches. Lord, we pray that the message of the gospel would penetrate into homes and into lives. Lord, give us Versailles. Give us Ripley County. Nobody else is doing this work. Give us this community for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The crew worked with wisdom and with understanding. The plumbers weren't trying to do the electrical work, and the electricians weren't trying to do the roofing. God gifted each of the craftsmen uniquely. Think about the image of the body that Paul gave in the Corinthians. In his letter to the Corinthians. The eye can't say to the hand, because I'm not a hand, I'm not needed. The ear can't say to the foot, because I'm not a foot, I'm not needed. It takes all the members of the body. What would a building project be like if the plumber said, you know what? I don't want to run drain lines today. I don't want to hook up toilets today. I want to do the electrical work. How well would that building project, he is fine, leave him alone. How well would that building project go? How well would it go if they said, you know what? Let's not even worry about pouring a foundation. Let's just go ahead and get this thing under roof. How long is that building going to last? But what does the scripture say concerning the construction of the tabernacle? The crew worked with wisdom and with understanding from the Lord. Each man knew his task. The Lord gifted each one uniquely for the work. We are still a church plant. We've not taken the time to sign the church covenant and to officially open the doors yet. We are inching closer to that day. But you're in on the ground level. You are uniquely gifted in this work of sovereign grace. You are uniquely gifted in getting the gospel out here in Purcells and in Ripley County. There are hopes that each of you can reach that the rest of us can't, and vice versa. God cannot use begrudging spirits in service. Think about the woman with the two mites. All these folks were dropping in huge offerings into the collection plate. And this widow drops in two small coins. And what does Jesus say of her? This woman gave more than all. This woman gave more than all. You might think, my gifts, my talents, my abilities don't measure up. They're nothing in comparison to a preaching elder or an elder. But your gifts, your talents matter. Your gifts, your talents matter. Everybody else might be able to drop in big, visible gifts. But are they giving out of all that they have? Or are they giving out of abundance? Are you giving out of all you have? If you're giving out of all you have, and the Lord says you're giving more than all. Remember, these folks have been slaves. Not too long ago, in this same narrative, these folks were slaves in Egypt. Now they're slaving again. They're slaving again, but they're slaving in a work that their hearts are in. Their hearts weren't in the building of those pyramids. Their hearts weren't in the building of Egypt's kingdom, but their heart is in the building of the tabernacle. Because they know that this tabernacle points to something else. They know that God is giving them a portrait of Himself. God's giving them a portrait of the Christ, the Messiah, who is to come. J. Vernon McGee said that ministry has no place for a man who does not love to study and preach the Word of God. Friday afternoon at CI Family Worship Center, we observed a man who loves to study and preach the Word of God. Next Sunday, we will celebrate as we set apart officially and publicly men who love to study and preach the Word of God. This community for sales needs to see your enthusiasm for the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, verses 15 through 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 15. But I've used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that should be so done unto me. For if it were better for me to die, than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Where is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I have used not my power in the gospel. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto Sovereign Grace Assembly if we don't have eyes wide open toward ourselves and Ripley County. Woe unto Sovereign Grace Assembly if we meet here week after week after week after week after week after week and we don't have an eye toward the houses and the businesses all around us. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7, beginning in verse 5. We'll read through 14. So he brought down the people into the water. The Lord said in the beginning, everyone that lappeth up the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his camp, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath the valley. And it came to pass the same night, the Lord said to him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And many nights of the Amalekites, and the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. And said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that lay the tent long. And the fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For in his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. The armies of Midian were many. Their camels were innumerable and more than sand on the seaside. And Gideon had just 300 men. Not just any 300 men. God took a test, gave a test to determine who was going to go and to fight against Midian. man of Midian take the men down to the water, and the men who got down on all fours and lapped the water like a dog were disqualified from service. But the men who scooped the water up with their hands and drank, they were the ones who knew. Why is that? Well, think about this. If you're on all fours and you're drinking the water like a dog, what are you not doing? You're not aware of your surroundings. But if you scoop the water up in your hands and you drink, you can look out and you can see what's happening. There's a lot of churches in this area that are drinking those still waters with their heads down like dogs. They are totally unawares of the community all around them. You and me, as Sovereign Grace Assembly, we're scooping the water up and we're looking around us as we find refreshing in those still waters. We're looking around us, why? Because we are aware of the community in which God has placed us. We're aware of the folks all around us who are of the 85% of this nation that's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's never come to Him in surrender as Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me by the still waters. And while I'm drinking of those still waters, I will be aware. Will you be aware of those around you? Will you be aware of those around you who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified? As we return to the Exodus text, this is the only place where the people had to be asked to stop giving. They had brought enough. They had brought enough. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we see different offerings that the Lord commands the people. We see all the way back in Abraham. Abraham gave a tenth. And we see the tithe being utilized throughout the Old Testament period. We even see in Matthew 23, Jesus discusses the tithe. How they gave a tithe of mint and dill and cumin. But the weightier things of the law, they forsook. And we're not going to get into discussion of the tithe here. Because if God's motivated your heart toward the tithe, then by all means, tithe. If God motivates your heart toward giving liberally, then by all means, give liberally. Do as the Lord has instructed your conscience. But be like these Israelites. Whatever position you take on the tithe, be like these Israelites. Be enthusiastic in your giving. Be hilarious in your giving. And giving is not just about money. Giving is about your time. Are you giving the Lord your time throughout the day? Is the only time that you're eating is on Sunday morning at 10:30? Or are you eating every single day? Are you giving the Lord of your time? Are you taking time to sit down and to study, to show yourself an approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed? Are you taking the time to hide His Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him? God wants you to give joyfully. God wants you to give joyfully. What's that look like in your life? What does joyful giving look like? Are you sitting down in the morning? Is that the best time? Is it when you're best motivated? Are you sitting down in the evening? Are you sitting down in the middle of the day? You have break time at work where you have a little pocket New Testament that you can pull out and read. Not only do we see God's portrait of Christ given, but we see the construction of the tabernacle. Pick up in the 8th verse, Exodus chapter 36. And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubim, and cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size, and he coupled the 5 curtains one unto another. The other 5 curtains he coupled one unto another. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvage in the coupling. Likewise, he made the uttermost side of another curtain and the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain, which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 tatches of gold and coupled the curtains unto one another with the tatches. So it became one tabernacle. And he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains he made then. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. The 11 curtains were of one size. And he coupled the 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops upon the uttermost edge of the curtain and the coupling, and 50 loops made upon the edge of the curtain, which coupled the second. And he made 50 tatches of brass to couple the tent together, that it might be one. And he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. And he made boards for the tabernacle of sheet of wood, standing up. The length of the board was 10 cubits, the breadth of the board 1 cubit and a half. One board had 2 tenons, equally distant one from another. Thus did he make all the boards of the tabernacle. And he made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, southward. And 40 sockets of silver he made under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is toward the north corner, he made 20 boards. And the 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, 2 sockets under another board. And the sides of the tabernacle westward, he made 6 boards, and 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle on 2 sides. And they were coupled beneath and coupled together at the head thereof to one ring. Thus he did to both of them in both the corners. And there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 16 sockets of silver under one board, 2 sockets. And he made bars of sheet of wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and the 5 bars of boards of the tabernacle, the sides westward. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from the one end to the other. And he overlaid the boards with gold, and made the rings of gold to be places for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, with cherubim made he it of cunning work. And he made thereto 4 pillars of sheet of wood, and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and he cast for them 4 sockets of silver. And he made a hanging for the tabernacle, door of blue and purple and scarlet, and 5 twine linen of needlework, and the 5 pillars of it with their hooks, and he overlaid their chapiters and their fillets with gold, that their 5 sockets were of brass. Did you catch how many times he said it was one? This wasn't multiple tabernacles. He didn't have a tabernacle for every tribe, nor did he have a tabernacle for every family, nor did he have a tabernacle for every man. But he had one tabernacle for the people, because there is one Lord and Savior. that one Lord and Savior is Jesus, the Christ, the one who would crush the serpent's head, the one who would have his heel bruised for you and for me. That fine twined linen speaks of the righteousness of Christ. This is his character and his work. We got to think about that together. His righteousness is both his character and his work. We can't divorce, we can't separate his character from his work. He provides for you so that you stand clothed in God's presence. He wasn't just one that did the work of righteousness. Righteousness was his very character and personhood. Christ is sufficient for your needs. Christ isn't just adequate. He is sufficient. In Christ, you have all that you need to save you from your body of death. In Christ, you have all that you need to save you from the damnation and wrath that is to come. In Christ, you have all that you need to look to God, the Father, and to be able to cry out, Abba, Dad. The curtains of goat's hair covering the ramskins and the boards and sockets speak of the person of Christ. We've talked about that in previous chapters as we've walked through this book. Jesus was a real man. He was a historical figure. The incarnation matters. He wasn't just a spirit that looked like a man, but he was literally a man. He was born of a woman, born under the law, so that he could save those who were under the law. He was born of a woman who was born under the curse, so he could save those who were under the curse. The boards were overlaid with gold, but they were fitted into sockets of silver. That's not insignificant. What does gold signify? It signifies Christ's deity. We must believe, if we're going to be Christian, that Jesus was the incarnated one. We must believe, if we're going to be Christian, that Jesus took on flesh. He wrapped himself in flesh. But it's not enough to just believe in the historical Jesus. We must believe that Jesus was also God. He's not 50% God and 50% man. He is 100% man and 100% God. That's the hypostatic union. We can't wrap our minds around that. We wrap our minds around 25, 75, 50, 50, 80, 20, 70, 30. But Jesus was 100, 100. All God, all man. He had to be all man so that he could go to the cross and die for you and me. He had to be all God so that he could offer the sacrifice that was necessary on your behalf and mine. Silver is the metal of redemption. When Hosea's wife, Gomer, went back into harlotry, Hosea redeemed her with silver. When Judas betrayed Jesus, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The price, the cost of redemption. silver is the metal back of redemption. Silver is the metal of your redemption. Your Savior was turned over to the Roman authorities for silver. Your salvation that is priceless was given price tag by Judas and by the chief priest and by the Roman authorities of 30 pieces of silver. Everything in the tabernacle pictured some part of Christ's work or his personhood. Think about that labor that the priest would worship themselves in. When you and me come into the Word each day, what are we doing? We're approaching that labor. We're washing ourselves with the waters of the Word. Think about that brazen altar on which the sacrifices would be made. Jesus is the sacrifice and the altar on which the sacrifice was made for you and for me. And at the holy place in which we have the table of showbread, the candlestick, and the altar of incense. Think about the Holy of Holies in which there's no natural light. The only thing there is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And thanks be to God, on that Good Friday, over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus cried, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The veil of that temple was torn from top to bottom. No longer does it require a high priest. Jesus went in as high priest once and for all, ripped the curtain open, and said, "Now you can come in to God's presence. You can come into the Holy of Holies. You can come in before the mercy seat and cast yourself upon His mercy." Lord Jesus, we bow before You. We thank You for Your work. Lord, we thank You that You were forsaken so that we will never be forsaken. Lord, we thank You that You went in, cleared the way for us, so we can cast ourselves at that mercy seat. Lord, use us as people of mercy here in Purcell's. Use us as a church of mercy here in Purcell's. In Your name we pray. Amen.